Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Tyler McKenzie. He's the lead pastor here at Northeast.
Now, big idea here. So Christians, listen up. As a Christian, I believe the single most loving thing that you can do for anyone is to introduce them to the love of Jesus. I mean, you and I both know how Jesus' love wrecked us and changed us in all the right ways. And so that should be the evangelistic impulse underneath our lives. Now, I want to show you something real quick. This is called the Engel scale of evangelism. Now, I'll go ahead and say everyone in your life falls on this scale somewhere. Everyone. Your kids, your spouse, your friends who love Jesus, people you know who don't love Jesus, everyone. And the idea here is to show how surrendering to Jesus doesn't necessarily happen in a moment, but rather it's a process that takes place over time through several micro faith decisions. And again, everyone you know falls on it somewhere. So you kind of just fill in the blanks with the people you know. Now, you know what moves people up the scale? Encountering Jesus and his love. And I believe the church in recent history has been exceptional at moving people across the line of conversion, taking those sevens, those eights, those nines, and turn them into tens. Where we haven't been quite as good at is taking those tens and elevens and deploying them as ambassadors of Christ's love. And where we've been downright terrible is taking those ones, twos, and threes and moving them up the scale. Which is why I love our church. You see, there's this brand of Christianity out there I'd call culture war Christianity that looks at those ones, twos, and threes as enemies to fight, to defend ourselves against. And rather there being an impulse of love underneath everything, there's this impulse of hate that quietly grows. There's nothing that could be further from the cross than that. We're not supposed to fight our enemies. No, the cross tells us we're supposed to live for, love, and even die for our enemies so we might see them converted as a friend. And that's what I love so much about our church. That's who we're here for. That's who we're in it for. We unleash Jesus' love every day, everybody, everywhere. Now, it was really awesome. One of the things I'm most proud of in 2020 is that every Tuesday, our staff gather together to pray. We're going to gather together this Tuesday morning, and that will mark all 52 weeks of the year in which we pray together. And in a recent prayer meeting, I told our staff that I believe God worked through that prayer meeting this year in ways that we'll never be able to tell, at least not this side of heaven. And then I turned the question on them, and I said, what's made you proud this year? What are some stories that you've seen happen this year that prove that 2020 is not a wasted year, but rather God is moving and he's truly changing lives, moving people closer to him? And I was not prepared for what happened next because the stories they told were just, they were just amazing. Let me just read a few of them to you. One staffer said, "It has blown me away watching our people this year thrive without a gathering. They've still been out there doing stuff because they love the Ville." Another staffer said, "I love that we've seen baptisms happen every single week." One staffer reminded everyone that this year we've launched a men's mentoring program with 26 men. It's maybe one of the most intensive, high-commitment discipleship environments we've ever done, and it fell right in the middle of a pandemic. And yet these men have loved it. One of my friends who's in it told me it's the best thing he's ever done for his faith. One staffer said that I wish we could keep track of how many thousands of phone calls we've made this year. We've called watch party hosts, ministry leaders, small groups, people in need. We've called the elderly and vulnerable in our church several times just to check in, and we've drawn closer to them because of it. Aaron Crane, one of our worship leaders, he actually leads a songwriting group here locally with other musicians who aren't all necessarily Christians. And he said he was so proud to tell these local musicians of our church's compassion through COVID. In fact, he told them about how we transformed our worship sanctuaries into food collection sites and the Brownsboro campus into a food pantry for a month or two. And he said one of the guys looked at him and said, Aaron, that's awesome. That's what the beep church is about. And to be clear, Aaron was clear on this. His friend did not say beep. Then one of our staffers suggested we should make t-shirts because that is what the church should be about, but it's a terrible idea. Anyways, one student, pastor, bragged that her 30 middle school small group leaders have been heroic. 15 of them were brand new during the pandemic because they just wanted to step up and love kids. Kids were facing a hard time. And she told us that their ownership over discipling our students have freed the pastors up so they can have more one-on-one time with specific students struggling with mental health. Our nursery director talked about how her volunteers actually asked her to write letters to babies in our church, the babies that are in their ministry. In fact, I got one for my daughter, Larkin, from her Sunday leader, and it was full of scripture, prayer, and love. And can I just brag on our staff for a second? Rhonda, one of our lead pastors, told the staff, watching all of you step up during this season, recreate your ministries, pick up new responsibilities has been inspiring. We've seen relationships grow and heal. We've seen folks take over leadership and show potential we never knew they had. We've heard more laughter than we've ever heard. We've seen our team cut expenses without cutting mission, which is unbelievable stewardship, so that our resources could flow outwards into the community where people have great need. David, one of our facility staffers, said that watching the donation crates at the front door has been so fun because all hours of the day, our church don't stop. They just keep bringing stuff in. One second, he said, I'll see little kids carrying presents. The next second, I'll see ladies and walkers bringing food. That's the church. One of our new staffers named Tim spoke up and he said, I'm still new here, but let me tell you what I haven't seen in my time at Northeast. Not once in this pandemic have I seen despair in this church. I've seen tears, grieving, lament, pain, but not once in this staff, not once in my small group, not once in this church have I seen despair, because we do not grieve as those without hope. One more story. Another one of our new guys, his name's Mac, joined the team in November, incredibly gifted, and on his first Sunday, it was one of the weekends that we were open in November, and he said he's never felt more welcome. People greeted him. Our kids' pastors came up to his family, learned his kids' names, and during the service, his 11-year-old daughter wrote him a note that said, Daddy, feels like home here. I love that. You know, C.S. Lewis once said that courage is every virtue at its testing point. In practical terms, that means if you want to know if you're truly virtuous, you won't know until you're tested. So, okay, you want to know if you're a faithful follower of Jesus? Well, you'll find out when your faithfulness is tested in the face of a dramatic moment of crisis like we've experienced this year. Want to know if you're a committed Christian? Well, you'll find out how committed you are when you come up against cultural disapproval, scorn, and rejection. Want to know if you're generous? You'll find out if you're willing to be generous in the face of costliness and risk. If you want to know your Loveville Church, well, you'll find out if you continue to unleash love during a pandemic. That's why I love how Jason Shreve, been on our staff for years, ended the prayer meeting. He said, this year, I feel like more than ever before, we've truly earned for ourselves a reputation as a Loveville Church. And amen to that. See, I believe that 2020 was not a wasted year. In fact, I believe that God's been building this church for 40 plus years for this moment, for a moment like 2020 and beyond. Why, Tyler? Well, because right now our city needs Jesus' love more than ever. And we are Loveville Church. So look, 2020 ain't gonna magically change things. Things are still gonna be hard. We're gonna need each other more than ever. Our city's gonna need the church more than ever. So here's my prayer over us in the new year. First, God, thank you. Thank you for the removal of control so we would depend on you more. We could see your power through our weakness and through our hardships. And God, I'm asking you, do it again. Cultivate inside of us a spiritual fervor to give, to serve, and to speak the truth of the love of Jesus like never before, no matter what 2021 looks like. In Jesus' name, amen.